a third of those who surveyed, like 32%, said that the world faces bigger problems than usual. And another third, 35%, said the world was in the most troubled state in their lifetime.
Wow. Almost a third of the adult population in the U.S., they found, spent a whopping $11 billion in the last 12 months on emergency preparedness.
Unbelievable.
The Ready Life, into the country.
Hi, I'm Nick Meisner.
And I'm Lisa, his wife.
And we want to welcome you back to the Ready Life podcast, where you'll learn how to make your home and family as independent as possible for basic necessities like water, heat, food, and the power that we so often depend on for these things. You know, we've been preparing for an upcoming class, and actually it's this Thursday, and it's something that's going to be unlike any other class that we've done before. If you've been around us much, you know that we generally stick to nuts and bolts kind of topics, you know, really practical things that you need to know in order to live a life that's as free as possible from dependence on the system. But for the past couple of weeks, we've really been, I don't know, strongly impressed is the best way I can think of describing it, that we need to step beyond that and talk about something that we haven't touched on very much in our online classes. And when we think about it, there's really a single major motivating factor that caused us to make the move that we did and pursue this lifestyle of independence, off-grid, country living, whatever you want to call it. This one factor has kind of been our North Star, you might say, that kept us on track all these decades that we've been doing this. But it's a really personal thing. And, you know, while we've spoken freely about it at small in-person seminars, we've been kind of reluctant to go there online to a broader audience. But it's really important stuff. And I mean, it's the thing that made us jump on board with all of this. So we realized that we've got to share it with you, even if we are a little uncomfortable doing that. Now, I've got to warn you, the class that's coming up, it's coming from a distinctly Christian perspective. So if that offends you, then this may not be for you. Like I said, we're kind of bearing our souls in this class, but I think you'll find the principles to be sound, whatever your background is. And so we'd love for you to join us. And the class is called Preparation or Presumption. And there's actually a sign-up link in the description, or you can go to thereadylife.com/class to register for free for this class that's coming up later this week on Thursday and on Sunday as well. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we've got two different options to accommodate different schedules. That's how important we feel that this is. So we're doing two different classes, one on Thursday and one on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, so it's actually the same class. We're just repeating it on Sunday because we know that some people are not able to show up on a Thursday evening because they have appointments scheduled or whatever. So we've made a second date available on Sunday.
Right. So just go to thereadylife.com/class and you'll be able to get yourself registered and hope you're able to join us there.
Yes. But
all that to say, we've been working on this class, and that got us to thinking about all the things that are happening around us that are the proverbial writing on the wall for each of us. You know, the noose really is tightening when you look around us, and I don't want to be cliche in saying that because I know we've been saying that for a long time, but it really is.
It really is.
I mean, I think about where things were 10 years ago, 15, 20, 30 years ago, and compared to now. And it's like, wow, I could have never dreamed that we would have gotten to this point.
I mean, just in our lifetime, we've watched computers and iPhones. And I mean, back when I was a kid, it was the, you know,
and the internet.
And the internet.
Everything almost.
It's such a tremendous part of our lives now, but back when we were kids, it did not exist.
Yeah.
So a lot has changed.
Yeah. So this noose, it really is, you know, it's starting to feel a little tight here around my neck. And at the very least, we're in for some turbulent times, times where you won't be able to count on the things that you've always counted on, you know, like abundant food in the grocery stores, water coming out of the tap or flushing the toilet, heat to keep your home warm, and 100 other critical things.
Yeah.
And so let's just stop at where we're at right now and ponder this for a moment. Where are we at? And where should we start with all this? I mean,
honestly, I think we need to start with COVID. I know that, you know, there's different people with differing views, but let's just look at what happened during this pandemic. You know, we all experienced the grocery store shelves getting really sparse for staples especially back in 2020. I remember they were rationing toilet paper. Who could forget the toilet paper crisis?
Yeah.
But, you know, the interesting thing was it wasn't necessarily from underproduction. It was from panic buying. Then a year or two later, we started running into shortages from supply chain issues. At times, there were 100 or more ships just waiting to unload in the port of Los Angeles alone when previously there was little or no backlog.
Mm-hmm.
There are various theories as to why that might have happened, but regardless.
I've got a few.
I'm sure. I've got my own. You know, I think the past several years really have proven to us how fragile these systems are that we rely on, you know?
Yeah. Things become even more fragile, though, when there's any kind of chaos or disruption, such as wars. Anybody hear of wars, by the way?
Oh, my.
Yeah. You know, just there's all kinds of wars, but just the ones that we as Americans are thinking about these days is the Ukraine war. It's seriously impacting.
It's still going on.
Yeah. And it's having an impact on the flow of oil in the world. And we can only imagine what the impact will be if that war escalates into a world war, which is a very real possibility.
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
I don't mean to,
I'm not trying to be a Chicken Little or anything and say the sky is falling, but anything could happen here. It's a volatile situation. And it's also impacting with Ukraine being the breadbasket of Europe. It produces 50% of the world's sunflower oil.
Can you imagine? I had no idea.
And 18% of its barley and 12% of the world's wheat. 12% of the world's wheat in that one country. And, you know, other things too. It's not just those things. And then just another war, the Gaza, Israel-Palestinian war, that's still going on. Who knows what could happen with that? I mean, if it escalates to the point where Iran jumps into the fray and other nations, that could turn into its own world war. We could have a couple of world wars going on here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's volatile. I hope not. But this is just the facts of life that we're facing right now. And that's just a couple of the world's many wars right now.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned oil. Fuel is actually one of the kingpins that everything is dependent on. If anything interrupts that flow of oil or fuel, the impact would be quick and it would be powerful. I mean, just think about it. We have transportation, we have agriculture, grocery stores, even the power grid is affected by the flow of oil. Pretty much every aspect of our life would be dramatically altered or stopped if the flow of oil was restricted or discontinued. And also, you know, just think about the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is located in Louisiana and Texas. That has been drained down to historically low levels over the past couple years. We're sitting at a little over 360 million barrels, and America uses 20 million barrels a day. So if the flow of oil quit, there would be around 18 days of oil in reserve. only 18 days,
wow.
If you think about that.
That is sobering.
It is. It really is.
Because without fuel, the movement of pretty much everything comes to a screeching halt. Transportation, it's the backbone of America. And, in the olden days, transportation was slow and it was expensive. So areas had to be fairly self-reliant. Mm-hmm. But as transportation became cheaper and faster, we became extremely dependent upon imports from other parts of the country first, and then imports from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone hear of this place called China?
Yeah, right.
For instance, just an example, did you know that food travels on average 1,500 miles to get to your grocery store's shelves? That's pretty phenomenal. A study was done some years ago to that effect, and that's what they came up with, an average. These grocery stores, they only have a few days of food on hand. You realize that. They're constantly having trucks arrive and restock the shelves and all of this. And it's fragile. Yeah, it's a very choreographed dance, a carefully choreographed dance that happens with this food. The warehouses are small. All of this is happening in real time. And so they've only got a few days of food on hand, and at the rate that you would buy it without a panic. And you add panic to that equation, and you've probably seen that. I know I experienced it growing up as a kid in Georgia, whenever an ice storm was forecasted. The shelves went bare of milk and bread and things like
all
this.
All the staples.
Yeah, staples and stuff like that.
And the toilet paper.
Within hours, a lot of times. And so, gas stations go dry without trucks bringing regular loads of fuel, and the list goes on. It's just the fuel makes everything happen, makes so much happen in America.
Yeah, one of the systems that we don't often think of as being impacted by transportation is the power grid.
True.
Without fuel to power transportation, many power plants would have to shut down rather quickly. Loss of fuel, though, is only one concern. Our current infrastructure, our power grid, is aging. Mm-hmm. And it's not sufficient to keep up with the demand in the future, especially a future that is forcing everyone to depend on and use more power. For example,
electric vehicles.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
We're using more and more power to power all of the things that we do and transportation and all of that anyway.
For a while, there was a big push for energy efficiency, but now the big push is for everything to be powered with electricity. And there's even areas where they're getting really restrictive about this. And in smaller areas in California, which is the petri dish of America, they've done, at least in one or two locations, where they would ban all gas appliances, and you had to use electric appliances in any new house that was constructed. I think they might have backed off on that one, but I can see it coming. I mean, they're trying to gently force everyone in the direction of using electricity for everything. And that is, adding a greater and greater strain on
the
grid.
Infrastructure.
And it also makes it, I'm not saying that this is necessarily their motive for doing this, but it also makes it very convenient where with one flip of a switch, you could shut down everything in a home. Homes that have gas appliances, if the gas is still flowing, then they've still got the use of those appliances. If they've got a propane tank that's running those appliances, they're still good until the propane tank runs out.
That's right.
But with everything being electric, one switch shuts down everything, which I think is significant. Like I said, I'm not saying that that's necessarily their motive for doing this, but I believe that is the ultimate motive behind all of this from the highest levels of the powers of darkness, shall we say.
Yes, for sure. EMPs are also another concern for our power grid. These can happen with a nuclear EMP weapon being detonated above the Earth's atmosphere, but they can also occur naturally from like just a plain old solar storm. Experts say that it could take as long as a year or two to get the grid completely back online after a large-scale EMP. That's without even mentioning all of the recent physical attacks on the power grid in various locations like North Carolina or Oregon and even Washington.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just have to stop and think about this. Like, how would you and your family fare if you didn't have any electricity just right now? If you have any doubts about how many important systems in your home depend on power,
flip your main breaker off.
That's right. Go find your main breaker and turn it off for 24 hours just as an experiment to see how you would fare. It would be a very eye-opening experience because not just conveniences are relying on power, but our basic necessities are relying upon power.
In so many cases.
Yeah. Most folks would have no water. Much of their food storage would go bad, for example, anything in your fridge or freezer. And many people would even lose their heat. So those are just a few of the consequences that would happen if for whatever reason they lost their power.
That's true. And whatever the cause might be, any interruption in the power is going to have a huge impact on the food system. Our food system is, I don't know if you knew this, but our food system is controlled by just a small number of huge corporations. In fact, four firms control 63% of the grocery retail market.
I remember the first time you said that, I was just blown away.
Four.
That 63%, that's a large percentage of the food. When you walk through the grocery store next time, just think about that, 63%. Of all the food that you're looking at on the store shelves right now comes through four major food corporations.
And that's averaged out. When you get into some local markets, that percentage is as high as 80%.
Oh, wow.
That's controlled by four firms.
Hmm.
As mentioned earlier, you know, 80%, 1,500 miles of traveling to get to the grocery store shelves.
Yeah, I remember when I first moved here to Idaho, right? Idaho potatoes, you can't find them in the grocery store.
Because they export everything.
You have to go over to Washington to find Idaho potatoes.
Yeah, it's crazy, but that's how it works. And this is the just-in-time system. It's super efficient, but with this kind of a system, it leaves very little reserves in the warehouses for handling interruptions. I remember one time my dad was flying somewhere and he happened to sit next to a bigwig from one of these big agribusiness food companies.
Hmm.
And the guy was bragging to dad about how he had walked into the grocery store and looked at one of the date codes of one of the food products that they carry. And it had been produced, I forget the exact number, but it was just a handful of days before.
Wow.
And was on the grocery store shelves within just a handful of days. That's how fast the turnover is, which is awesome from a freshness standpoint.
Yes.
And from an efficiency standpoint, you don't have to have such massive warehouses and all of that. But what happens when there's an interruption with that kind of a system? And, you know, over the years, this super efficient food system has resulted in lower food prices.
Yeah, except recently we've seen a dramatic increase in the price of food.
True.
And really everything. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel like I'm dying every time I go over my food budget every month.
Yeah.
You know, one of those culprits, though, is inflation. The inflation increase that we saw in 2021 and 2022 was actually historic. You'd have to go all the way back to 1979 to find a similar rate of increase.
Wow.
I'm not going to get sidetracked on like how we really got into this mess, but
didn't have to happen.
Yeah, it really didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
But this combined with many other factors, though, has driven the price of pretty much everything through the roof, such as the price of food. From 2018 to 2022, the cost of food rose by over 20%.
Wow.
This food price increase was faster in 2022 than any year since 1975, and transportation rose by over 26%.
Cost of transportation. Wow. I can believe it. I can believe it. So we got this problem of inflation, a problem that was created, yep, mind you. And now one of the solutions that they are about to be giving us is the digital currency, or CBDC. You know, the rise of a digital currency appears to me to be a matter of when, not if. And why is it so concerning? Well, I believe there's a couple of reasons why it's concerning. First of all, it's about control. Just think of the government or huge tech corporations being able to digitally flip a switch that turns off your ability to buy anything. Or if you are deemed to be a problem, what about losing your ability to accept payments in your business? Mm-hmm. Or maybe losing your job?
That sort of thing has happened.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It does. It's been happening to some folks here in the U.S. who have been canceled due to their connection with certain politicians or industries that the financial tech industry doesn't like, that they frown upon. Mm-hmm. And so it's already been happening. So this is not a stretch. I mean, I remember watching this happen with one well-known politician and people that were supporting him. And within a matter of days, banks and credit card processing and this and that and the next thing were shut off from him and his people who were directly supporting him. And it was like, whoa, I could hardly believe it. However you feel about a particular person or politician or whatever, it was stunning to see the speed at which people and corporations were manipulated and coerced and controlled into shutting down paying customers, where they almost couldn't function.
Yep.
Scary.
It's true. That is so true. You know, also, you remember the name Daniel Andrews?
Yeah, I do.
He was actually the premier of Victoria, Australia. You might remember that, but you probably would remember what he said during COVID. He said, and I quote, "There is going to be a vaccinated economy, and you get to participate in that if you are vaccinated." In other words, you get to participate in that economy if you are vaccinated. Yep. No matter where you stand on the vaccination question, this is a concern.
Because what's going to be the next issue?
Exactly. Like, while you may agree or disagree with the vaccine, that's not what this is about. This is about manipulating people to do what they want them to do.
Control.
It's about control. That's exactly it.
Yep. The other reason that I'm concerned about digital currency is because of privacy. Just think of every transaction that you make being traced back to you, either now or years from now. Mm-hmm. What if you made purchases from an entity that speaks up on unpopular issues and is on Big Brother's hit list?
Yeah, you know, financial privacy is not the only concern, though. 25 or 30 years ago, could we have ever imagined that almost everyone would have an incredibly sophisticated tracking device on them at almost all times? And that even our most innermost thoughts and feelings and questions could be logged
this,
for future reference. Are you kidding? I mean, and how many people, they live on social media or, you know, I mean, just...
You'll pry it out of their cold, dead hands.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. So even your private communications with others can be logged, and people know this.
Yeah.
You know, big tech goes around censoring and controlling information that doesn't agree with their political leanings. They just shut it down or they take it offline. So this is not a stretch. This is something that we are dealing with right here and right now, and our freedom of speech is being compromised.
That's right. Life in 2024.
Not to mention our privacy in general.
Right. So really, I think control is one of the biggest concerns that I have. It really is kind of the overarching thing. That seems to be the master goal, is they want control.
Yes. And
throughout history, the powers that be have manipulated people by controlling their access to basic necessities like food or water. But even recently, we're starting to see government entities get the bright idea of using the dependent state of folks to control them. Ding, ding, ding. Light bulbs going off. You know, for instance, I think about there were various government entities down in Southern California that threatened to cut people's utilities if they were violating certain COVID restrictions.
I think they even did.
I believe so. And they even did in some cases. And we have newspaper reports where they were...
Where they did shut down utilities to certain homes because they were...
having unauthorized gatherings or gatherings that were too large or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said earlier, they say that California is the petri dish of the country. And it's true. It spreads, stuff starts there and spreads everywhere else. So I think that we can expect to start seeing this trend spread. I mean, local governments are already using utilities to enforce things like building permits and building ordinances and even things like prohibiting Airbnbs. And stuff like that. So the writing is on the wall. What's going to be the next thing that allows them to unplug your power or turn your water off? And speaking of COVID restrictions, did you know that the World Health Organization has been working with many nations worldwide on a pandemic preparedness treaty? Did you know that?
Wow. No, I did not know that.
They've been working on this for a little while now. They're supposed to be presenting it in May. So they've been working on drafts of it. And I believe it's supposed to be voted on or something or other in May. There's some debate as to how far the treaty is going to go, but one thing is clear. We know the kind of positions that the WHO took during COVID, and we also know that the last draft of this treaty states that it is a legally binding agreement.
Hmm.
And I've seen quotes floating around where they've been trying to act like, oh, no, this is just, you know, we're just trying to get everybody on the same sheet of music and it's just a nice and fluffy thing. But it states, I've read it with my own eyes, it states in the treaty that this is a legally binding agreement. Even the chief of the WHO has gone on the record saying this is a legally binding agreement. And he's reiterated that point. And our beloved government has been very much a part of this treaty being formed. So I'm sure we can't wait to see what sort of things we are legally binding ourselves to when the next pandemic shows up.
Hmm.
When the next pandemic shows up.
It's not a matter of if.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, and in case you're wondering, we aren't the only ones that are concerned about what's happening in the future.
You
know, USA Today ran a survey, which they found out that a third of those who surveyed, like 32%, said that the world faces bigger problems than usual. And another third, 35%, said the world was in the most troubled state in their lifetime.
Wow.
So, you know, just one in four said that today's challenges are nothing new.
Yep.
Most people really feel like this is something, a storm is brewing.
Right.
We can feel it.
That's right. So true. And, you know, Finder.com, just another source, they've been running a survey about preparedness and how folks feel about this since 2017. And last year in 2023, which was the last survey that they've run, roughly a third, almost a third of the adult population in the U.S., they found, spent a whopping $11 billion in the last 12 months on emergency preparedness.
Unbelievable.
And it's not just the older, wiser generations. It's even the younger generations. 39% of Generation Y and 40% of Generation Z are taking measures to prepare.
Way to go.
Yeah.
You know, one look at the world around us, though, makes it clear where we are and what direction it's taking. With massive instability everywhere, out of control inflation, political volatility like we have never seen before, and powerful entities that are grasping for more and more control over us, really, the time has come to stop talking and start doing something.
That's right. That's, you know, right.
And now is the best time to get ready, because there's never going to be a better time than right now.
Yeah.
So many people say, oh, yeah, I need to. Well, we need to stop talking, and it's really time to start doing.
Yesterday was the best time, and yeah, today is the next best time.
That's right. That is so true. So, you know, if you're feeling regret, though, about the past and not taking action when things were cheaper and easier, I know so many people are, especially with the price of, you know, properties, yeah, and all of that, you have to let it go. You are where you are right now, and the past is gone. What we have is right now, the present, and the future. So don't look at yourself a year in the future, looking back on you today, and create more regret. In that setting, there's no better time than right now to get started with getting ready.
That's right.
You know?
That's so true. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, right?
One little step.
That's right. And just taking that a little bit further, the journey of 1,000 miles is eventually completed with which step?
Just the next step.
The next one.
Yep.
And so that's what we have to focus on, is the next step. Wherever you are on your journey, whether it's your first step or whether you're on your next step, the time has come, friends, to take action. And the sooner you take action, the sooner you start the learning process of trial and error that we all learn by. It takes,
yes,
time. The sooner you take action, the more time you're going to have to prepare, and the better your position will be for helping others when the crisis arrives. And the sooner you take action, the sooner you'll be able to reach your goals and your dreams. And that's why we believe that the time has come, friends, to take that step forward.
Yes.
To make a start, whatever that looks like for you, to make that next step, that first step or that next step, whatever it is. And just a reminder that as compelling as all these current events are, there's a factor that to us was even more important. You know, current events ebb and flow. We see the general trend escalating each year, and it does appear that things are coming to a critical mass, but who knows? I mean, we're not prophets and don't claim to be. We don't know what the future holds. We can look at the trends and all these kinds of things, but sometimes there comes a period of apparent peace, and it's so easy to become complacent during those times of apparent peace. I've seen that happen numerous times where people would get really worked up about a crisis, and then that would pass, and then it would seem like everything would calm down and just let everything go to the wind. But for us, the motivating reason why we did what we did so many years ago and why we continue to stick with it and keep working away at it is actually spiritual. And I know you may be wondering what on earth preparedness and independence has to do with something spiritual. And I'll tell you what, our class coming up this Thursday and Sunday, it's going to show you exactly what I mean. And I think you're going to be really surprised at the indelible connection between these two, between, you know, the preparedness and the spiritual dimension of what's going on, because this is bigger than just us and the lives that we're living right now. There's forces that are at work that have been at work for much longer than we've been around. And when you understand what's going on behind the scenes, it really helps to understand what to prepare for, how to prepare, and all these kinds of things.
Yes.
So you don't want to miss this. And you can register for free at thereadylife.com/class. That's thereadylife.com/class. And we really hope to see you there. You don't want to miss it.
Yes, can't wait to see you on Thursday or Sunday.
That's right. So we'll see y'all next week, and hopefully we'll see you on the class. Bye.
Bye.